Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Logical Soul Talk. My name is Michael Craig, and I'm your host for this little bit offbeat but exciting weekly talk radio program. Now, as a host, I get the rare privilege of interviewing really interesting folks who I consider to be the best, the brightest, and the most creative people in the world. And during this 30-minute program, I focus mainly on some of the turning points in their lives, the people who influenced them the most, and the decisions they made that brought them to success. You see, as a chiropractor for many years, I discovered that most people, including myself, have an underlying pattern of what I call hidden decisions that we made as small children or picked up from our parents, our teachers, or even our ancestors. And these subconscious decisions form our reality and affect our motivation and our destiny. Consequently, these hidden decisions can either propel us to greatness or lead us to self-sabotage. Now, quite by accident many years ago, I discovered I could access and change these hidden decisions to allow amazing results to happen in my own and other people's lives. And you can get more information on this discovery and natural process at www.logicalsoul.com. And if you're in the Atlanta area, you can join our meetup, which is the second Wednesday of every month in Norcross, Georgia. And you can find information on that on logicalsoul.com as well. Now, the guests on my show were selected not because they're familiar with my work. Some aren't, and some are. But because they have obviously made decisions that led them to their current success in life. And my goal in having them on this show is to probe a little bit, discover their pattern of life decisions. This will allow you, as my listener, to maybe pick up some special nuggets that will add to your motivation and nourish your seeds of success. So listen to what they have to say, and in about 10 or 15 minutes, I invite you, please, call in with your comments and your questions. Our number is area code 347-843-4544. That's 347-843-4544. Now, my guest on the show tonight is C.F. Jackson. Ms. Jackson is an author. She's graduated with a degree in criminal justice at Georgia Southern University. She's originally from St. Petersburg. She's lived in Atlanta for about the past 12, 15 years. And while she's here, she's been writing about her experiences and teaching others to discover their talents and potential. In 2005, CF discovered the power of the Internet, where she began studying on how to use it for publishing and promoting her books and her business. And now she teaches others how to do the same to create their own success stories. Her novel, and she's written several books, her novel is called Won't Be Denied, and that's become her brand name, essentially, or her brand, the code by which she takes action in life. And she's very intent on doing that. Her Internet web presence is everywhere, and she's been published in Find Your Way and Fly, The Ultimate Success Factor. She's also been in Atlanta's Creative Loafing newspaper magazine, Entrepreneur Magazine, and others. And CF has been interviewed on the Sumter television show, The Louis Jones Show, Millionaire Monday series by John DeLem, and Atlanta's WVEE or V103 FM, to name a few. And today she states that her goal is to help those who are like she was once, which is lacking in training, not having a proven system to go by, and lacking in the basic principles of a successful website. A lot of people just don't know how to do websites. And she provides the abundant resources, workshops, and tools to address these needs. And I just want to welcome CF to the show. I've known CF for some time. She's been a part of this group that I'm a member of, the Internet Marketing Group downtown. And I've known her to be very conscientious, very knowledgeable, and she's helped me a great deal. She's provided a whole lot of information, and I just wanted to ask her back on the show. This is her second appearance. I think you were on the show, last June? Was it June the 9th?
I believe so. Yes, sir.
Excuse me. I got a croup in my throat. Hold on one second.
Okay.
I was holding that back for 2 minutes. Okay. I think I'm going to survive here. Excuse me just one second.
Okay.
Okay. So, CF, welcome again. I'm glad to have you back on the show. You're quite a talent, and I'm really impressed with your work. And I wish I had the time to do all the stuff you're talking about. I've been so bogged down. But you've really got some good information. Like during the internet, during our internet marketing group thing, you gave a presentation on LinkedIn, which I thought was absolutely fabulous. And you've done some things with books that really impress. And I just wanted to give you an opportunity to talk about that later in the show. But first, let's talk a little bit about you. What you're from Jacksonville, you said, and how did you get you went to Georgia Southern? Did you just apply to Georgia Southern for a particular reason, or it just happened to be the one that available, or what happened?
Well, actually, the first starting out in St. Pete, I was born in St. Petersburg, and I really my first school I applied for was Georgetown College in Kentucky. And I, as a young kid, at the age of 12, about 11, 12, my grandmother, she became ill, and at that point, I decided I wanted to go to college because I wanted to take care of her. So that was my mindset at very young. Said that I didn't know how I was going to get there, but I planted the seed of going to college, and I was an average kid in school. Didn't do anything, no extra stuff, but it was this average kid, and when the time came to go to college, I took my ACT test, and they had no idea of how to get there, but I applied for one college, Michael, and actually the one school I applied for in Kentucky, I got accepted to it. I made it into the school. They gave me a full, pretty much a full ride, but that was, it was a challenge for me in terms of education. I kind of had some bumps and scratches along the way, and really I kind of pretty much flunked out, but I didn't give up. I continued to move forward. I came home to recoup and get myself reorganized and really decide what I'm going to do. And then I did more research this time. This time I was more intelligent of how to determine what school I was going to. The first time I was going to the school because I wanted to get away from home. But this time I did my research, and I determined I wanted to go to Georgia Southern. It wasn't too big or not too small, and it had all the different extracurricular activities that I needed to build my resume as a criminal justice major, and that's the reason I decided to go to Georgia Southern, and I really enjoyed the university. It's a great school.
I'm from Savannah. We used to go to Georgia Southern a lot. I've got family up in Statesboro, or did have, and it's a neat school. So what happened, how did you go from Georgia Southern to Atlanta? What's the process there?
After I finished and got my degree in criminal justice, my first job actually came to me going to North Carolina. I was in Chapel Hill for about a year, and I counsel at-risk youth, those who had may have been physically abused or may have been having some type of social problems. I actually counseled them for a while, but then I was there for a while. Things wasn't working out as I would like, and I just happened to come over here, and I was like, my mom, she moved here from Florida, so I said, well, let me just come over here, and I knew people here already from school, and I just made it over to Atlanta, and I've been here ever since.
A big city like me. We all just sort of end up here, I guess. It's one of the
somehow
melting pots. Yeah, I guess that's the way it works. So you were, now did you do any criminal justice here in Atlanta, or were you trying to pursue that, or when did you get involved with the internet, and how did that happen?
Actually, I didn't do, once I got out of that, I really got into, I went into the actual private sector in terms of corporate America, and I thought I mostly wanted to do the fraud side, and really got into telecommunications, so I went to a whole different level, Mike. I went to telecommunications for like 10 years, working with back then it was GTE Wireless, and then it came into different things, so I really was vamping up a really nice resume in terms of just doing what I love to do, and then all of a sudden, like I said, the bottom fell out of the whole telecommunication industry, and I wasn't feeling the oomph that I was feeling before. And I've always been I was just telling somebody a little while ago, I've always been into computers. I mean, ever since, you remember back in the day with the Commodore 64?
Mm-hmm, yep.
Well, my mom, she bought me one when I was a kid, and everywhere I went, I took my Commodore with me. Now, no matter where I was plugging it into somebody's television, but I just didn't follow that suit because I didn't, you know, back then you had to do programming. You had to program your own things to work on a computer. So I just didn't go that route. But it's always been in me. My mother, she's an acoustic blues singer, and she really was my first person who I was pushing to get on the Internet. So I pushed her on the Internet since like 1999, 2000. I was helping her on the Internet, getting her music out there across the globe, and that's how I kind of stayed into the whole realm of the Internet marketing world.
That's good for you. Yeah, I know there's a lot of people on the Internet started out with those things. I had a color computer that I used to do, you know, programming BASIC and stuff. It was quite a trip. Those were the days. So you got in telecommunications, and then the bottom fell out of that. Did you lose your job there, or did they just lay you off, or what happened?
Well, it was a series, really. I got laid off. The first one I got laid off in 2001, and I was pretty much I had thought I was doing a good job of moving from different industry or different companies to keep that from happening, and I got laid off the first time. And that's when pretty much the actual desire for me to do more in terms of the entrepreneur side came up, but I was a little bit too timid. And it's going back and forth again, laid off again, and then all of a sudden in 2002 is when I really had a vision to do more. And really, it was in 2003 when I came up, when it was a Saturday, I woke up and I had a whole thought of Won't Be Denied. I said, that'd be a great movie. I was telling it to a friend of mine, and she said, oh, that should be a book. I was like, oh, I don't have time for to write a book. But then I said to myself, what do I have other to do? And from that day, I decided to write a book. And then that's when I found that I felt more of a pleasure and a joy in life of writing this book. Coming home, I was changing my whole life from upside down of not coming home and sitting in front of the television. I came home, watched a little TV at 8 o'clock. It was off. And then from 8 to 10, I wrote every day. Every day from 8 to 10, and then within like 5 months, the book was done. So really from that, taking that step of listening to my inner voice and saying, okay, let's write the book, it took me to a whole other level of, okay, this is where I'm going to go, and taking it from what that started me down the path of just opening a whole other window of where I can go, and it has blossomed to where I am today.
Wow, that's yeah, I was going to ask you about Won't Be Denied, because you're talking about you were timid at some point, and I guess we always write about the things that we need to know ourselves or need to learn or need to understand more of. And you're definitely right on. I know as an author myself, I've, you know, just sitting down, like you said, and just doing 1 or 2 hours a day, you know, like even though I finish my book, I just go blog every day just to make sure I just keep those juices flowing, you know. So I understand that completely. And that's probably the best advice you could give to an aspiring author, is just write something every day. It doesn't matter what it is. Just keep those juices going, you know. So you've got Won't Be Denied out. How did that go? Did you and you had a bunch of things come out of that? I mean, you've set up some websites. You started doing some. Now Won't Be Denied is a novel. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. So tell the audience a little bit about what the novel is and how it came about and how it goes. I mean, what's the story about and so forth.
Pretty much in a nutshell, Love Will Be Denied is about Mari, who's the main character. She becomes engrossed and captivated by the next main character, which is Travis, and she's so enticed by this individual whom he just doesn't know he's in the wrong place at the wrong time. He's building a platonic friendship with her. At the meantime, she's falling in love with him. And really, I just came to my mind when I woke up from a nap, and I'm a movie buff. And I thought to myself, that would be an awesome film, and my goal is to have it turn into to be one of the first African-American suspenseful films to be made, because there really hasn't been one of this caliber, I believe.
Uh-huh.
And I see it as that, because really it's a psychological thriller or suspense, because you see somebody walking in her mind how she's become so captivated by this person, and behind the closed doors of he doesn't know what he's getting into, he just knows somebody. He's a married man who's happy and married, and he's meeting someone who's a platonic friend.
Mm-hmm.
And really, just like I say, me waking up and seeing this and not really questioning, because a lot of time, Michael, when it comes, I have people asking me, you know, well, how do you write a book, or what did you do to write the book? And they get caught in all these steps and all these different strategies. And at the end of the day, really, it's just about knowing what we know how to do is writing, just pretty much putting it together and not questioning how to do it. Is it this way or that way? Do we have to do an outline? Once you get to all those different steps, sometimes I think that holds people back. So I did what I knew to do. I didn't really ask questions to anybody. I just knew I needed to write a story, and I just got up and got to my computer and started writing. I knew I needed chapters, so I just wrote a chapter. I knew, okay, it's time for chapter two. I just, okay, I didn't have any rules, Mike. I just, okay, this end of this chapter, let's go to chapter two, you know, and that's how
right.
The whole thing flowed, rather than getting caught, because some people, I've done workshops, I've done conferences, and people, they get caught in all, how long should the book go? Well, just write until the story tells itself. And for me, I know at the end of the book, I kind of interject myself, because now, because really I didn't have how the story was going to end. The characters unfolded themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I interjected myself because I didn't want something to happen at the end. And then my reader, a friend of mine who's reading my book, she kind of like gave me some choice words, not no good, nice words, but some curse words. And telling me that you cannot end the book that way, which I knew I couldn't, Michael, but I just didn't want the character, you know. But I jumped back in and let the story flow how it's supposed to flow, and that's how the book ends. But just telling the story and letting the characters tell you what they want to tell you and let it end on its own accord. So just let it happen.
That's so amazing. I'm so happy to hear that from you, because when I set out to write my book, you know, The Logical Soul, I didn't have a title for it then. This was back in the mid-90s. I started writing this book, and it didn't turn into The Logical Soul. It turned into a novel called The Remedies of Patchouli, which is a totally different thing. I've actually finished a novel. It's been sitting on the shelf for 15 years, and I'm probably going to publish it soon, but I've also written a novel. And I understand what you're saying. It's almost like the thing writes itself. I had no choice. I had to follow this line of reasoning, and it started to lead me. And then suddenly I'd hit a wall, but then I'd just sort of stand there in front of that wall and just wait. And then something would eventually begin to move, and I'd just move in that direction, didn't know where I was going. And it seems to sort of unfold itself. It's amazing. And I know what you mean about the endings, because, you know, people get sensitive about that, especially. But that's a good sign to show that they're really involved with your story, because if you end it a certain way and they really start cursing at you, you know you get their attention. Because I know, what was it, the guy who wrote Sherlock Holmes? What's the author's name? Arthur Conan Doyle. He killed off his character one time, and there was such a hue and cry and up, you know, outcry from the audience that they had to bring him back to life. So yeah, it's a funny thing. So did you have any influences early in your life? Did you have like a grandmother tell you stories, or where did your stories come from? Where did the inspiration to tell stories come from?
I really don't know. I mean, I'm an only child, so I'm constantly, I guess, very observant to what's going on around me. I'm observant to what's going on. I retain a lot of information. I just guess it just came out of nowhere. I've always, when I see something, my mind can think of another way of how it can be depicted or how it can be relayed in different ways. So I'm very creative in that fashion. I remember in high school, I had my first, we did a short story, and my first short story was pertaining to, I was in high school, I was in band, and it was a little suspense thriller, and I was somehow, and crazy as it was, I was killing somebody off in band. I don't know who it was. And I think it was a way of me probably, I may was mad with somebody, but I got an A, and I think that's my first bug of really seeing how to write dialogue and communicating. I really had a thing with it, but at the end of the day, what I didn't like about English was all the freaking rules. I didn't care about the comma splices, and I didn't know all those rules. I just wanted to write, and that's again, one of the things that kind of stepped me away is the rules. I wasn't quite sure, because comma splices still come to me today, which I still have no earthly idea how those things work. But something that can intimidate you can really make you go down the wrong path. But sometimes you can just go ahead and knock that down, because I came to understand that I'm not an editor, I'm not a proofreader, but I am a storyteller. So I said, do what I know how to do best, tell the story, and let somebody else who's editing, who knows all the rules of grammar, and let them fix that part of it. And that made it much more easier for myself not to try to perfect it as I wrote to tell a story. So I don't know where it came from, but it's just a pleasure of telling a story and, I guess, really seeing how people react to it and the results they get in terms of feeling fulfilled, or, you say, kind of getting angry with you because the character got killed off or something.
Well, I know the reason I asked that question, CF, is because, you know, my grandma Mimi, used to tell us, my sister and I, stories at night. You know, she'd read us bedtime stories. She'd just make up stories. You know, and she'd tell us these stories, and they were fascinating. And then sometimes she would have continued stories, like, you know, episodes and things. And she was very creative that way. And so I guess I sort of picked that up from her, you know, the love of storytelling and how that worked. So I was wondering if there was somebody in your family, or if you'd had a friend or some adult or somebody early in your life that maybe influenced you in that way, or was it TV? Maybe you saw something on TV that rang something, that brought something to mind. You know, just some seed that was planted that brought this inspiration to you somewhere. Do you remember?
I would say it's probably the only child, probably my most, in terms of, if I wasn't outside playing with the neighborhood kids and all that great stuff, my getaway was probably was television. Like I said, I'd probably look at something and say, okay, how could I say that different? Or what was the ending of this show? Or how the show could end it like this? But, you know, you had your favorite shows, how TV was more entertaining back then. Back in the day, you had your, you know, different strokes, and you had the different pure shows. So maybe that was those shows or something that caught my attention of how can I be more creative myself, you know?
Yeah, you're a lot younger than I am, so I'm not going to talk about the shows I used to watch.
Okay.
You wouldn't know them anyway. But it's a fascinating thing. But you know, TV was great, and I remember all those heroic shows and stuff like that. But really just my grandmother's influence was the biggest thing on me. And I know anybody who's a storyteller will tell you there was always somebody who influenced them. But in your case, it may have been TV. I mean, it may have been something. Just the love of storytelling got put in there somewhere. So how did you turn that into workshops, and how did that process happen where you wrote the book and then suddenly you decided you wanted to be an Internet consultant or a website consultant? When did that begin?
Well, once the book became published, and the easy part, I would say, was done because I was able to stay behind the closed doors. And I was behind the scenes, and now it's time for me to market the book.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's another level of peel I have to take off my skin now, because now I have to do something that I'm not used to, being outside and marketing myself and speaking and being in front of people.
It's tough for writers, isn't it?
It is. It's a different world, which I knew would have to come into retrospect at some point. But a lot of people, I'd be amazed when I get around, because a lot of people, especially back then in 2004 and 5, a lot of people want a book, and people probably still do it today. They write the book, and then that's it. Then we didn't have the social book. We didn't have the social networking world that we do today compared to 2004 and 5.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people then wrote the book, and they didn't think about the marketing side of it. And, you know, I thought about it, but I was timid about it. So once I got into the world of, okay, I got to go out here and sell the book, which was, you know, I had to go out there and do the radio shows, got to do different workshops, got to do the different book signings. It was a lot of work. And I said, okay, I have the website, and I was getting sales when I first got the website up, but then they kind of fizzled off. And I thought, okay, maybe I thought I knew about Internet. You know, I knew how to put a site up all nice and pretty. My site looked better than the next author's site to myself. You know, I said, oh, my look better than that one. So what do I need to do? And then I went to an event in 2005, and I was going to see Les Brown and Stedman Graham. I wanted to be inspired and motivated. And actually, that's when I came to know about really about Internet marketing. I came across a Matt Basak, and I came across a few other individuals, Tom Antion, those who are on the Internet. And I said, oh, I don't know anything about the Internet. It's not about having a site up there. I got to know about what is an autoresponder. Oh, my goodness, you know.
Yeah, we've had Matt on the show, by the way. He's great. He tells some stories.
So. So it was amazing from that point. All that, and then hearing him go through this sequence of all this, I'm looking like, I don't know diddly about what I do on the Internet. And then at that point, I kind of like decided to take a soft sabbatical from focusing on the book marketing side of it on the world, and then start studying all these great people. And I learned about Matt, learned about Stephen Pierce, learned about all these Internet marketing, and I'm just constantly studying this stuff. And I just fell in love with learning it. And I said, when I came back, I said, well, I saw other authors doing the same thing that I was doing. And that's what I just desire to help them. And they don't have to be gurus. They don't have to be as, you know, like, you know, nerdy as me and spend hours doing it. I just want to make it concise and condensed as possible. And the whole website, makeupworkshop.com, came into play with me wanting to share and educate others in a more concise, more applicable way that they can learn how to learn different things about keywords, blogging, and things like that.
Right. Yeah, it's something it's so new in so many ways. So many people don't know about the stuff. It's not new in other ways, but yeah, it's a whole different universe out there. I mean, the way of marketing, like you said, since 2004 has even totally changed. And there's so many things, and keeping up with it. I mean, you know, I'm an old guy, you know, it's hard for me to keep up with all this stuff. I try my best, but I sort of get overwhelmed by the whole thing every once in a while. And it's like, holy cow. And some people my age are just, they don't even want to look at it, you know,
exactly.
It's just so much stuff, you know. But that's amazing. So we've got a few minutes left here, CF. Why don't you mention your website, give people your website and any information they need to be able to get some help from you.
Sure. You can find me at www.websitemakeoverworkshop.com. Jump over there. You'll find a plethora of information. Like I say, I have tutorials about blogging, how to improve your keywords, how to find search engine optimization, traffic generation. Also take advantage of the free e-course that I have. I have free stuff over there. Step over there and take advantage of that. And if you have any particular questions to myself, you feel free to give me a call at 404-492-7644. Again, that's 404-492-7644. And I do my very best to answer your questions. And, again, it's all about just getting started, taking the effort to do something different each and every time. And if something you're doing right now isn't working, it's okay to scratch it, remove it, replace it with something totally different. Believe me, it's okay. And you want to continue to do that to get the results you're looking for online. And that's the answer.
Mm-hmm. That's a good answer. Thank you so much for sharing that. So what's your next step, CF? Where are you going from here?
My next step right now, working on a project is helping faith-based and nonprofit organizations to be more connected with their members in their organization, as well as advancing their message to grow their organizations. Because a lot of times we get caught where we're not connecting with our communications, and we do that by utilizing email. Email is one of the top utilized communication tools or engines that we have today, and utilizing that more effectively is my goal, to help that community and beyond.
Hmm. Okay, so you're donating your time to faith-based organizations and stuff, or they retain you as a consultant, or how does that work for you?
Well, it's just in the beginning phase of it. I'm looking to move into that. It's mm-hmm. emailconnecting.com, where I'm going to be actually providing that service to that niche of market of people to help them grow their communication with their organization.
Excellent. Do you also do work with individuals or small companies?
Oh, most definitely. Anyone, entrepreneurs, small business, groups, whomever, who needs some assistance. And what makes me different than the other individual is that I explain things in a very practical and applicable way that, well, I know that everyone is not a guru, and my goal is to make it as simple as possible so you can understand it, doing workshops, doing actual services, blogging creation, search engine optimization, all that stuff that sometimes you just don't feel like doing and you don't know how to do it. I do it for you.
I may give you a call. Anyway, okay, so what I want to do is, let's see, we've got just a couple of minutes here, CF. Anything else you want to add, any other tidbits? I want to get your website and phone number again before we get off here again. But, just give us some more bits of wisdom about, I'm really impressed by your work ethic, how you really put yourself out there and made things happen for somebody who didn't know grammar or didn't know, internet. You've certainly come a long way and made things happen. So Won't Be Denied is a very apt title for what you do. So give people your website again and your phone number and any parting statement you want to make on that.
Sure. Again, it's www.websitemakeoverworkshop.com. And you can also contact me at 404-492-7644. And, again, it's about taking the extra step of looking at what's not working for you and scratching that information and doing something new. And really, at the end of the day, it's getting help, and it's okay to ask for help. And all the time, it doesn't have to be free. Sometimes you may invest something, a small amount, but get something started. Getting around people, like-minded people, creating a group, because it's been great being in a group like with Michael, the mastermind group that we're in. It helps take you to another level. So get around people, physical people. You can do it online all day, but get around a physical group somewhere in your neighborhood. And the best place to do that is go to meetup.com, and you can find people doing the same thing that you're striving to do and connect with these individuals to get you to the next level. You got to make those connections. You get that support team behind you, because it makes you a whole better person.
Great. Now, do you still have a radio show? You had a Blog Talk Radio program at one point, didn't you?
Oh, no. That's the responsibility right there, Michael.
Sure is. I got to show up.
I listen in and learn.
I have to show up. Now, I thought I saw you on Blog Talk Radio. Anyway, never mind. Okay.
Well, I'm on there as a listener, but not as an actual show.
I thought you had a show for some reason. I don't know why, but maybe I just saw it on Google somewhere. But I don't know. So anyway, well, thank you so much for coming back on the show. You've been our guest, as I said, back in June 9th, and now you've come back because you're such a fascinating person. I just love talking to you. So I appreciate you showing up and sharing what you know. Next week, excuse me. Next week, I'm going to clear my throat all session, and actually, I'm going to be able to talk next week. I think today is just an exception to the rule. We're going to have another mystery guest. Today, CF was our mystery guest because I didn't know who was coming on the show. Next week, we have another mystery guest, which means that I still don't know who's coming on the show next week. But the week after that, it's interesting, we have a real estate person, and the week after that, we have Sam, who's part of CF and our group, and he's going to be on there on the 16th of March. So it's going to be a fascinating March. Tune in to LogicalSoul.com to get more information. Thanks. This is Michael Craig, Logical Soul. CF.
Hey, Michael.
Sorry, I've been so
choked up.
Choked. I was so choked up today. Thanks for
it's
carrying
just me,
the ball.
Michael. It's just me. It's not Oprah anyone. Not yet.
Oh, I sit there talking with Brenda Wade, who did my forward. I mentioned to her, and she says, well, she's been on Oprah a couple times, and she's interviewed with Barbara Walters, and she's done all this stuff, and she's been on The View, and I'm sitting there talking to her, and it's like she's a normal person, you know. And it's like, yeah, but I get choked up with you. I don't know why. but anyway, it was a great show. It was a great show. Thank you so much.
You were kind of fast, yeah.
Well,
that's a good question you asked me. I don't know who started. I don't know how I got the bug about writing, but I'm going to dig deeper and see where it came from, Michael.
Yeah, there's somebody in your life that planted a seed somewhere, I bet you. But that's just a thought. But I it's funny when you started mentioning about grammar and stuff. It's like I used to hate. Back when I was in school, we had the English teacher from hell in the 11th grade, 7th grade and 11th grade. And I don't know, I got instilled like vocabulary and grammar and punctuation, all this stuff was just beaten into me so badly. But it pays off. I mean, now it's just like not even a second thought. I mean, I'm a great editor now. I could go through and just look at something and tell you exactly what's going on. So there are some benefits that come out of that, but it's like boot camp back then. Didn't like it at all. But anyway, if you need an editor, I'd be happy to help. Also, I could definitely use your help. So let's get together sometime and talk, because I definitely want to pick your brain and see what we can do together. Cause,
we're on the same side of town, though.
What's that now?
We're on the same side of town as well.
Oh, that's right. Where are you located?
I'm over here off of Winter's Chapel.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Not far.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, you're not far at all. Okay, well, let's do lunch. I'll have my people call your people.
Here, you can call me my people.
Okay. What's her name?
Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
What's her name? Ellen DeGeneres says, well, I'll have my people call your people.
She's funny.
That's great. So, CF, cool. Thank you so much. And I'll
my pleasure.
Give you a buzz. Take
care.
All right,
have a great week.
You too. Bye-bye.